going on, America? I am Graham Allen, and welcome to the newest episode of the Dear America podcast. This episode is especially exciting because we have my favorite congressman, Dan Crenshaw, along with his lovely wife, joining us. And it's a good time. We have a good time. We talk about things that most people don't talk to the congressman about, and it is fantastic. You should not miss it. We hope you enjoy this episode. But first, we have to make a little bit of money now and entertain the sponsors, because the sponsors keep us going. We are very grateful to have them. TacPac is the premier monthly subscription box for military, tactical, and Second Amendment enthusiasts. For just $49.95 a month, they ship you at least $100 worth of gear from companies like 5.11, Hex Mag, Mission First Tactical, Armaspec, and America Grip, just to name a few. They ship out AR-15 parts, everyday carry tools, knives, cleaning kits, and a mix of other tactical gear and apparel direct to you. Sign up before July 1st to get the Patriotic Pack, a full USA-branded gear from companies like SOG, Nylon Apparel, and Switchview USA. This July offer will sell out just like the June pack did, so don't wait. Go to TacPack.com, and when you use the promo code RANT at checkout, they'll ship you an ABKT folding knife absolutely free. So, if you're into tactical gear from the best companies for half the price, TacPack is for you. Go to TacPack.com and get the July pack today. Don't forget to use the offer code RANT to get your free ABKT folding knife, TacPack.com, TacPack.com. Last but not least, we can't forget about our sponsor, Simply Safe. A recent Gallup survey shows Americans worry more about burglary than almost any other crime. More than mugging, more than terrorism, more than car theft and murder. But what's crazy is that only 1 in 5 homes have home security. Maybe because most companies really don't make it easy. I get it. I don't like people coming in my home, and I especially don't like people telling me what to do, but it is absolutely necessary, and Simply Safe makes it easy, and that's why Simply Safe is my top choice. Simply Safe protects your whole home, every window, room, and door, with 24/7 monitoring for just a fraction of the cost. Their police dispatch is up to 3.5 times faster because they use video verification. There's no contract, hidden fees, or fine print. It's designed to blend right into your home. No wires, no drilling. It's easy to order and easy to set up, usually in under an hour. Simply Safe has won a ton of awards from CNET to the New York Times Wirecutter. Prices are always fair and honest, and around-the-clock monitoring is just $15 a month. Visit simplysafe.com/dearamerica, and you'll get free shipping and a 60-day risk-free trial. You've got nothing to lose. Go now, and be sure you go to simplysafe.com/dearamerica so they know our show sent you. That's simplysafe.com/dearamerica. Now, let's get on with the show. Sit back, relax, and welcome to the newest episode of the Dear America podcast. What's going on, America? We are in a special bunker location. There is security. It is actually very uncomfortable and scary. People are looking at us. But Congressman Dan Crenshaw is joining us today. Some of you know him fondly now as the Majestic Freedom Pirate.
Yes.
It was trending for quite a few days. But we also have his beautiful wife with him, and the one that actually keeps him grounded, Miss Tara Crenshaw. Is it? What's the proper? Is it like First Congressman, Lady Congressman Crenshaw?
Just Tara.
I like Lady Congressman. I think that's a good thing. And of course, my beautiful wife is with us, and Jake's here.
Oh, wow.
Love you,
DJ.
Slow clap.
Awesome. So, now that we have your official title out of the way, am I allowed to call you Dan during the podcast?
That's fine.
Okay. All right. Dan, you have your fancy patch on today.
Yeah. You can call it that. It's the sticky patch.
It's the sticky patch?
Yeah.
So, you did this video, and this was actually a question. People wanted to know, what is your go-to patch of choice? So would this be your patch, the non-strap one?
Yeah, the non-strap is more comfortable in a lot of ways, especially when it starts to get hot and humid. You know, you want to be able to like wipe your forehead without dealing and not have a thing wrapped around your head. Of course, there's obvious advantages to just having the non-sticky patch, which is you can just take it on and off faster.
Right.
So, you know, it's whatever works in that moment. But, like, the sticky one, you kind of just tend to forget about.
Is there a tan line? Like, is there the tan line threat that you might have? Like, the
I'm serious. It's a real thing.
Possibility. Yeah. It's never happened, though.
I've been worried about it. But
There it is. And that is why she is
here. Yeah, that's why Sarah's here.
You give us the political answers. We get the real ones from your wife. Yeah. That is what Alyssa does to me daily on this podcast. So, I'm going to go ahead and get this out of the way right now. We're not going to tease the audience. I told you guys ahead of time that I asked the audience ahead of time questions that they would want you to answer. Mm-hmm. And the absolute number one de facto wasn't even close question. Is Dan Crenshaw going to run for president in 2024?
Come on.
Come on.
Well, there's no plans right now.
Let's ask your wife. Is Dan going to run for president in 2024?
Giving you that. Be careful.
There truly are no plans right now.
There are no plans right now.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that'll be a decision the people make. That'll be a decision the people make.
And that answer is the best one. That's the right answer.
It is. You know, that would be pretty soon. I'd be still under 40, I guess, by 2024. You know. If the people want that's what would happen. But you know, right now I gotta win my next election. We gotta make sure Texas doesn't turn blue. If Texas turns blue, there's no point in any Republican running for president.
Right. That's very important for all of us now because we're all actually here in Texas now.
Yes, we
are.
Texas.
You guys have seen the light and you have
actually, that's right. I really enjoy it here.
We did enjoy it. Yeah.
Why are you so surprised?
Nice, right? Yeah.
It's really
big.
Yeah. Awesome. There was a tone.
There was definitely a tone. So question for the two of you. How long do we have to be here before we can say, oh, we're from Texas?
Yeah, good question.
Well, you're Texans by choice.
Yeah.
We're Texans by choice.
Yeah, choice.
So we can claim that we're from Texas now?
I mean, I think that's okay. We're an accepting people. we want you to want to be Texan. I don't think there's a whole lot wrong with saying I'm a Texan now. I think you
probably
would get
driver's
a cheer.
License.
You would get a cheer if you did that.
Or
like,
we
you know, and if you denounced your Georgian heritage.
No,
we're not Georgia.
Georgia, Mississippi. Sorry.
Dan, how could you?
Can we erase that?
I'll edit that out, Dan.
We'll never make the light of day. This is what Jake does. Anytime Jake gets something wrong on the podcast, it miraculously doesn't make it on the podcast. He edits it out.
Right, I did it one time.
Let's try that again.
If you would,
and cut. Go ahead.
If you would denounce your Mississippi heritage,
nailed it.
As you should, and now boldly claim Texas, which would make sense. I mean, just based on what's right and wrong.
I have a question though. Okay, everyone, though, they're like, you're from Dallas. And I got reamed out there today, like, no Fort Worth, no Dallas, no Houston, no Austin. So y'all have, like, this inner, like, rivalry thing going on that I don't know if I'm a fan of.
And then, of course, the people from Houston are like, well, Houston's the only place that matters in Texas.
The biggest economy. I mean, it just seems obvious.
Did you hear the arrogance in there? The tone that went with it? So, is it caveating or segueing?
No, we're segueing.
I've forgotten at this point.
First episode.
Caveat's a totally different thing.
We said caveat.
We got
like three or four times. Like, people let us know multiple times.
That was that Georgian heritage.
So I have a question, and I just want you to imagine for a second that you are the president in 2024. Okay, so you are the president. You know, technically, the president's not supposed to speak anywhere. I have an idea for you. It's not a question, an idea. Anywhere that the presidential seal is not there. Huh. What if you just put it on your eye patch and then you could speak anywhere you want and you would be the president with the presidential seal always?
I should put it in my eye.
If you lose the patch, it's right there. No harm, no foul.
That should be the glass eye.
Everyone mark this podcast down right now. If Dan Crenshaw becomes the president and he starts walking around with the presidential seal, you heard it here first.
That makes sense.
I think it makes complete sense. Yeah. I mean, I don't know the exact bylaws. Like, if you can, like, make it, you know, your own a little bit, but it would make sense, I would think.
no idea. Yeah.
You have no idea? No input
whatsoever? Let the people decide.
Okay, all right. So we want to go into story time. All right, and we want to involve your wife in this one. Dan, you're awesome, but it's time for you to just sit back and relax. The audience would really like to know your story. Many people have heard your story. Navy SEALs, you can kill people with toilet paper and Vaseline or whatever they teach in SEAL training these days. Are you imagining how you could do it right this second? Is that what's happening?
Yeah. Vaseline is more flammable than you think. You can create little fireballs out of toilet paper and Vaseline.
For those of you on audio only, if you could have seen the face he just made when that was there. So, all right, Navy SEAL, wounded in combat, and then you come back, you go to Harvard after that, and then you become a congressman. So what was that actually like, Lady Congressman Crenshaw? What was it like being the wife of Dan Crenshaw during all of that? Navy SEAL to congressman's wife.
Well, I always have introduced Dan as the husband of Tara.
Oh, so.
Nice.
Every lady just said, yes.
It's true. She had all the friends anyway.
Oh. Yeah.
I was always being dragged along.
I've introduced you to a lot of nice people.
Yeah. I was the arm candy, you know?
Yeah. Oh, there it is. Yes.
Yeah, no, it was, we had a great life in the military and the teams. Being a military family was awesome. We loved every moment of it. And it was 10 years. And we thought it would be 20 years. Mm. And obviously things happen in life that you can't control and you have to make a new plan. So when it came down that, you know, Dan had to be medically retired, the next morning we got up and made a new plan. And that plan was, okay, we're going to go to school. And then we're at school and it was a great experience. And then school was over and we made a new plan. And that's how we kind of got to where we are now.
How did you guys, what happened to make not only you, Dan, but you guys as a family decide that you were going to run for Congress? How did that go? I mean, what was the thought process there? Was it just kind of a, yeah, this is what we're going to do? Or did you have some reservations to it? How did that happen?
I think Tara had the ideas of running for office maybe earlier than I did.
Oh, really? I so. Okay.
I thought he would be great.
Well, you were right. Mm-hmm.
But we never had any plans to get there. To run for office, you need a few things. Well, you have options, right? But there's three. You need one of these three things, and one is independent wealth. The second might be political connections.
Which we don't have.
Military family,
we didn't have the second thing either.
And the third would be just a window of opportunity. And so, you know, when that window of opportunity came, it was presented to me, and I asked Tara. Tara's like, let's go for it. Like, yeah. So it wasn't a plan that we made necessarily. It was a window that we jumped through really fast.
True.
But, and also, Tara was a military family growing up, so it wasn't that crazy for her to live through deployments and things like that and build that community.
Yeah. And I think, too, the moment that we decided to run, we were sitting at the dinner table. Dan had come home from work that day and said, you know, something kind of funny happened. And I thought, oh, here we go. I was like, okay.
Never good.
And he's like, Congressman Poe's retiring. And someone said, they think I should run. What do you think? And I really did immediately say, let's do it. Because life is a great adventure.
Just like that.
Yeah.
Bam.
And I think that when an opportunity arises like that, you just got to go for it. Because even if you fail, it was still an awesome adventure.
Yeah, you went for it.
Yeah. And you can't. You can't live your life being afraid of failing, so just go for it.
So, and I already know the political answer is this. Of course, we didn't get in it to fail. But, I mean, you know, did you guys think, because from what I understand, it was a relatively short amount of time. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a really fast-paced thing.
Yeah.
I mean, did you guys feel like you were fighting an uphill battle during that?
Oh, absolutely, 100%.
Like, yeah, it was only a few months. And then that was also part of the rationale, because if it's only a few months, well, then why not try it?
Right.
Give it your all.
Because we discovered the vacancy came in November, and Texas primaries are March 6th. So that's not a huge amount of time.
No.
That's November and December to basically, I mean, just tell people you want to run. Nobody's listening to you because it's a holiday season.
Right.
So it's impossible to raise money. We got to get a team together. Nobody really wants to work for you because you're a nobody, and you're going. There's 9 candidates in the race, all of which have a lot of their own money. A couple of which were willing to spend millions and millions of dollars, and so you really don't have a shot. So it's hard to hire staff, and you just got to get really creative and just sprint to the finish, which is what we did. We got creative. We were able to. My goal was to articulate conservative values better than the other ones, right? Because that's what people are going to be looking at in a primary. You can't differentiate yourself based on policy. And so that was it was a big family effort.
Mm-hmm.
And we would just look for things to go to together and talk to people.
Yeah, I was the driver.
Very nice.
I drove all day, every day. We'd get up at 6 a.m. and not get home till 11 at night. And just did everything we could, all over the district, drove everywhere.
Interesting. So for the ladies at home, we have a lot of veteran spouses and things like that. Military spouses, veteran spouses, military spouses, active duty and things. Easier wife of a Navy SEAL, easier congressman's wife. Which one would you say?
Well, I really enjoyed being a military spouse.
Yeah, that's right. Like not even. Yeah.
Not even.
And
it's not even close.
Yeah.
I think too, the instant community that you have being a military spouse is incredible.
And I told Graham, I think that's the hardest thing when we got out of the military is because it's like you meet someone, you're like, oh, we're best friends for 2 years, great, and you instantly click and you're done.
Yeah.
And this whole world of trying, it's different and it's hard.
I hate making friends with people. We thought we were likable people until we got
I'm good at making friends.
Alyssa's very likable.
You're terrible. In a good way.
I'm not.
No, I could have told you that.
This is the route we're going? Okay, all right. Dan Crenshaw, let me tell you guys. Dan Crenshaw is an incredibly savvy social media persona in elected office, congressman. He's amazing. Texter, he could possibly be one of the worst
the worst texter
in the history.
Yes.
What makes me bad? What makes me a bad texter?
Wait.
I can. Do you respond quickly?
No.
Okay, that's one
False.
Strike.
What? We will literally be having a conversation, and
you're kind of being needy right now.
And then you'll stop.
And then
2 weeks later, you'll be like, "Yeah, I thought I saw something. You were in Houston." I was like, "Yeah, Dan, I wrote you and said I was in Houston.
Oh, you wrote
we
me.
Should hang out." And I was like, "Well, okay, well, you know."
I'm
like
sorry.
I
will.
We're
I
taking
will.
One step forward, two
okay.
steps back.
I'm going to give you a special notification.
Yes.
Special ringer.
Yeah. All right. So let's see. All right. I'm trying to remember everything that everybody wrote that wouldn't be the normal things that you guys answer all the time. So a lot of people want to know what is, from both of your perspectives, and I want to see if they're different. We'll start with the lady congresswoman
first.
I'm sticking with that. I'm going to make that stick. Lady congresswoman. I like
well,
it.
Well, that is.
Or is that the title for actual congresswoman?
Right, which I'm not.
Lady. Well, then maybe it should be lady.
First lady congresswoman.
First lady. Anyway.
She could be a majestic
district
freedom.
Two.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh no! Thank you for bringing that back up.
Yeah,
let's start with that. People want to know.
We're
going to
keep it.
Did that? What did you think about when you first saw the majestic freedom pirate thing taking off? People wanted legitimate question. They wanted to know.
It really rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
It does.
I mean, it felt that was Graham. Like that was that just made sense. I'm happy with it.
I wrote you beforehand.
You wrote me beforehand.
I texted you beforehand and said I was going to do it.
You know I don't check my text.
No, you wrote. I wrote Dan and I said, hey, just so you know, I might have called you a majestic freedom pirate in my video, and I wanted the text. I figured if I got a text back that said you cannot post that, that would have been my confirmation that I shouldn't go that route.
True.
But you just sent a laughy face, and I was like, that's permission. And so, anyway, no, people really, really responded with it. You should really think about it. T-shirt, merchandise sales, you could probably make.
Tara can drive
there's,
you.
There's,
I can.
There's shirts and stuff.
I'll be driving the ship.
Majestic.
Yeah, I already am.
You guys can sell the shirts. I can't. Well, I guess I could monetize it somehow. But
are you not allowed to make profit off t-shirt sales? Is that a thing?
God, there's so many rules. I'm not even sure. So
you can write a book, though.
I don't even get in. Yeah, you can write a book.
How is that any different?
It might not be. I don't know. We could definitely.
There you go. Well, what's you?
We could sell them through the campaign.
Oh,
I'm just saying. There you go.
You know,
I'm just saying.
But I have no interest in inhibiting others from
I
creating
bet you
merch,
guys,
merchandise.
When it's re-election time, I bet you I can help push a lot of Majestic Freedom Pirates.
Majestic Freedom Pirates.
That's all I'm saying.
All right. Could be the Majestic Freedom
real quick.
Jake,
mermaid.
All right, go.
Okay.
Dan, what's some of your least favorite parts about being a congressman?
Oh, that's good.
You know, the...
things that annoy you.
Yeah, well, just the general the general misinformation out there is very frustrating. It's frustrating in the kind of political opponent sense because they'll throw out things, the media will throw things out there that are just not true, and they know right. It's not true, and it's like, man, you know better, you know, but you're doing it anyway. But that's a little bit, I can at least accept that to an extent as being part of the game. What really frustrates me is that people believe it, right. You know, and so I always ask everybody on both sides, just always just take a step back. Be like, does that really seem right? You know, I mean, whatever the headline is, does it really seem correct? Because it probably isn't, or there's probably more to the story. And God, there's countless examples. I don't know that we've been a victim of that a few times, but you know, not to the extent to say the president is, for instance. But that's pretty frustrating. Tara has to deal with a lot of that online. So Tara, you can tell them about she will look through our Facebook comments.
I've seen you get feisty.
I never read them.
You get feisty on the personal Facebook page.
So you read them all?
I try to get her to stop.
Maybe not every single one, but
I think it's awesome. I enjoy it.
I think it's important that I try to engage when people come to the page. I believe and hope that they're coming because they either have a question or want to be involved in today's politics. And when someone posts something that is incorrect, that's misinformation. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I think we should address that. Yeah. If someone comes just to troll, I'm not probably going to engage with that because there's always going to be someone that's going to be mean.
Right.
But if someone's posting, oh, I heard this or I heard that, and they think it's truth and they're posting because they think it's truth, but it's not.
Right.
Why would I let that lie?
Yeah. Right. That makes sense.
So that's why I try. And in the beginning that was a big part of the campaign.
Yeah, and definitely. Now it's gotten harder for sure because it's
bigger.
You'd have to hit every single medium out there, and it's just.
Right.
It's,
So you speak to the game that is in D.C. and the game that both political parties play. Do you think, in your experience, and you don't have to name any names or anything like this, but you interact with other congressmen and congresswomen and senators and things like that, do they believe a lot of the things, like the ridiculous things that come out, or is that truly, like, part of the game?
That is always the question. Like, would they pass a lie detector test? And I thought that it was a little bit more. At first, I really thought I was going to come up into a situation where they said one thing in public, and behind the scenes, they were like, "Don't worry, man, we don't actually."
Oh,
but
wink at you like real hard, like
yeah,
nah,
like, that's yeah. just. But I see that less and less. I think the problem is that the moderate Democrats maybe don't totally buy into the kind of postmodern progressive left, which is growing in influence, but they certainly won't defend against it. Hmm. And so in the end, it might as well be the same thing. Yeah. Because if you're not willing to defend the values you know are good, and this is what I always say, like well-intentioned liberals, they always live by conservative values. If they're successful, they do, you know, and it's, and, you know, they care about family. They care about, you know, they probably do put an emphasis on more local control of government where they can be involved with and a strong community and all these things. But they will not defend these values. You know, they probably love 4th of July parades, but they won't defend American nationality.
Right.
Like, they just won't. And you're like, why?
Yeah.
Why? And so you might as well just be the postmodern left. If you're not willing to stand up for what you know is right, then that's a problem. Now, in some cases, they've literally, like, I've watched them say, God, we can't have the federal government matching small dollar donations and therefore paying a 6-to-1 match, right? That's H.R. 1, by the way. So right. that's like what Democrats passed in, early on. Like, federal tax money, your tax money would go into my campaign coffers. Really great for an incumbent like me. Really bad for anybody who ever wants to compete against me. So it's a For the Politicians Act. They call it the For the People Act. But so that's an example, because I watch these moderate Democrats be like, oh my God, we can't get behind that. That's crazy. Right. And then they vote for it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, it's just, it's, they have no principles to begin with. And so it's, it shouldn't surprise anybody that they're easily persuaded by the far left.
So one thing that you guys do that I love more than anything, and I'm curious, who is responsible for it? If you guys came up with the idea to do it, or if someone in your
it's
team
definitely my idea. I don't know what it is.
We should know what the idea is.
Let's hear it first before I claim it.
Yeah.
I love the fact that you use your social medias, which have blown up, by the way, because people love what you're doing. They love what you stand for, how you present yourself, etc. I love that you pull back the veil in D.C. Like, you literally have, like, your days where you show, like, even how you go vote, and then you'll come out after voting and you'll say, hey, this is what this bill actually means, and this is why I voted this way, et cetera, mm-hmm. et cetera. And I've never really seen anybody do that before, like, yeah. to that extent. Was that your idea? I mean, whose idea was that?
That was actually all Dan.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, I was leaning in because I'll give that to you.
It's genius.
Because from the beginning, Dan always said, I think one of the problems, we don't understand why people vote the way they do. And if a politician would just come out and say, this was what was there, and this is why I can't vote for it, mm-hmm. or this is why I had to vote for it, because right. this is what I believe is important. Because there's going to be bills that you have to compromise on.
Right.
Because
you can always find something you don't like in it. So there's always a reason to vote against it, or you know, or the opposite, too. So
right.
You got to be able to explain that.
How many bills in a week do you guys normally vote on and things like that?
A lot more than people realize. I mean, so you fly in Monday. Those are generally suspension votes. Suspension vote means everybody agrees on it. Suspending the rules to just vote already, because we all know we all agree on it. It's
right.
generally bipartisan legislation. It's not overly substantive stuff, but that's like, hey, we all agree. We're just voting. We scheduled votes Monday night so that people would fly in. They're fly-in votes. There'll be another vote series, maybe a couple different pieces of legislation the next day and the next day. So in any given week, you know, maybe between 5 and 10 different bills.
And that's why I think that you doing that is so it's so amazing, so powerful. Because I've said for a long time, you know, we elect people to speak for us and mm-hmm. to be our voice in Congress. And you guys are voting on so many things all the time that the average person has no clue,
yeah, yeah.
well, what you're even voting on. And,
yeah.
and so I think that it's really amazing for somebody to go in and
yeah.
I've been saying it for years. We need somebody that's like, hey, we are voting on this. Mm-hmm. This is what we are
yeah.
talking about.
Yeah.
Because I've always said, how can you truly represent the voice of the people when the people have no idea what you're doing?
What you're doing. Mm-hmm.
And I want to give, I don't want to make it seem like my colleagues don't do that. They definitely do, and every member has their own way of doing it. Maybe
right.
it's on their website, but it's not in a way that's accessible to people.
Right.
People
right.
realize I do it also because I got a lot of followers. And so, you know, I don't want to make it seem like others don't try to do it, but we were just with Allie a minute ago
right.
or doing her interview also, and we were talking about just the rules that millennials understand on an intrinsic level about how to just get people to watch your content.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, like a lot of you guys, we're at a Turning Point USA event right now, and there's a lot of, you know, big Instagram, you know, internet influencers here and all that, and they'll always like message me and be like, hey, this is actually how you're supposed to do it.
Yeah.
So that people will look.
We had like a real sit down meeting when we first
yeah.
met.
Right. And you're like,
this is
how you get more followers on Facebook. So I listen to that stuff
yeah.
and I also know what kind of content I like digesting. Okay, little rules like, hey, you need subtitles.
Yeah.
You need
mm-hmm.
subtitles
yeah.
so that people will actually watch it. You need maybe a flashy title up top. You know, I've learned to do that. So you've watched my videos evolve over
yeah.
time
right.
from actually what were very early on in the campaign, what they were. And I would have Tara, oh my God. So
here we go.
Let's go.
We are elder millennials. So,
yeah.
so we had to.
Yeah,
we had
yeah.
To
so
learn
we would first we did Facebook Live during the campaign.
Yes.
And that's
right.
always what we would do to let people know what we thought about things. And so go ahead, Tara, tell them how our little studio went.
Oh,
our studio?
Yeah.
You mean I'd hold the phone with my elbow on my knee to steady it.
Sometimes it would stack books on like.
Oh, we would stack like that.
Yeah.
Yes, like get it.
You know, get it just right,
and then I would have to. So we would.
And if I had to read a script,
that was so complicated. Yeah. We'd stack books, put the phone on it, and try to adjust it. And I'd look through it, and be like, okay, it looks like you're in the frame, okay. And then I'd go next to it, and I'd have the computer, and I would scroll with my fingers.
Teleprompter.
So that, yep, exactly. Awesome. I was the human teleprompter.
Amazing. And we have to look at it and be like, does it look like I'm reading it? Oh my god!
And then, of course, in like true marriage fashion, Dan would be like, you're doing it wrong. I'd be like, you're doing it wrong.
You're doing it wrong. And then I tell him,
he'd be like, he's like, is that okay? I was like, no, this looks terrible. It looks like you're reading. And he's like, that's not true. Let me see it. And he'd watch it and be like, that looks terrible. I know.
When I first started, I would always go work out at the gym first. Then changed it into my uniform when I first started. Yeah. And so I would prop my phone up in the dash with my gym shoe.
Yeah. Oh,
and that's how I would hold the phone up in the...
So you'd randomly go in a truck and you'd see like a shoe.
Yeah. Well,
that's an interesting... I've never done that, the car thing, but that's so popular.
Yes.
And does it just get more views when you do it in the car?
Still to this day. What is it about that?
Does it make people feel like you're...
I'll tell you what I think it is. You're relatable because somehow, accidentally, I branded and tapped into something that everyone does, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everyone has been in a car, and you have just let out whatever frustration it is that you're thinking about, right? And I truly think that people see you in a vehicle, and you are just whatever it is, you know? Mm-hmm. And I even have some videos that aren't like, in your face. Like, you know, there's serious talks in there. But it's, I don't know, for some reason, people just identify with that feeling and that mindset. So you should try.
I was going to say, you need to get in your car now.
You need to get in your car or your truck.
I'm going to talk Social Security policy.
There you go.
You should.
Watch what happens if it blows up. Dan did a video from the car one time,
but you, because you know when you go live and you film it, it mirrors the image.
Yes. Mm.
So this is a question that we constantly have to answer. So say, hey, your eye patch switched sides.
Yeah, they're like, you're a faker.
We know you're a faker now.
Yeah, some majestic freedom pirate you are.
You're a mother faker.
Yeah.
What is that, man?
I think it's the number one question I have answered. Yeah. Are you serious? I'm serious.
And you're like, the mirror image.
It's the mirror image.
People ask me all the time where I got my truck, where the steering wheel's on the... On the opposite side. They want to know. They want to know where I got it. Like, come on, guys. Just work with me.
Or tattoos.
They'll be like, he has fake tattoos.
They keep switching. Yeah, they keep switching.
These people have driver's license. They're in cars driving down the freeway. It's terrifying. It really is. These people have kids, probably.
And they vote.
It's terrifying. All right. So speaking of vote. Actually, no. We're going back. Jake threw me off. We're going back to the question I wanted to do. You already answered. It's always Jake's fault. No. You already answered the bad part of Congress. But I want the bad and best or part that you didn't think that you would like, et cetera. And I'd like to start with you because we already heard his, the bad part. So let's go bad with you now, and then we'll go back and forth. So what's the worst part of it that you're allowed to say, at least,
on the microphone? Let's see. I think the worst part about it is the misinformation. I agree with that because it's also misinformation about your character.
Yeah. Right, because they're always undermining the character. That's always what they want to do.
Right.
They rarely, how often does Tara look at a comment on Facebook and see that they're making a coherent argument against a policy stand that I have? Like, that's just not what people do. They try to attack me as a person, you know, like, you know.
Do they often attack you too? Because I know they do with Graham.
They don't often attack me. Okay. Sometimes in conversations back and forth, they may say things, but it's not really a direct attack at me.
We've been a little lucky on that, I guess.
Yeah, but, I mean, of course, there has been comments about that have been made that are not nice. Right. But I kind of just don't read.
Who cares?
I'm like, who cares?
I'm getting raked over the coals as we speak right now, probably.
You need to go on because I don't read the comments. you need to start fighting Graham's comments for me.
Oh, no. I did a video about the Miley Cyrus abortion cake thing. And, oh, man, apparently not wanting to murder babies makes me a terrible person. Either way.
Yeah, I saw that
nasty.
YouTube,
I think that was you were nasty.
Yeah, I'm nasty. Yeah.
Cruel.
Oh, no. The biggest thing was I had the black rifle hat on with the American flag and the AR in it.
Yep.
And they were like, the irony of you being pro-life
wearing
a hat like that.
Yeah, it's always such a weird comparison. You know, it's like, no, it's not irony at all, because we don't want anyone being killed who is innocent. We don't want any innocent lives killed. It's actually a very simple philosophy.
Yeah, no, it's really. Dan, there you go. You're talking common sense stuff again.
Don't do it.
And that will get you in trouble. All right, back to topic. So what's good?
Mm.
What's a good part of being a congressman?
I get a great parking. My license plate is great.
Really?
Yeah.
You can
park anywhere.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
That's a real thing?
It's the one benefit in D.C., not anywhere else. Outside of D.C., now all your benefits just they evaporate quickly.
You're just who you were before, pretty much, when you're back in Texas.
Nobody. Yeah. But that's, I mean, it's really nice. We get two, so, you know, we can use them. Granted, I never drive, so I guess I don't really use this benefit.
Do you always get driven around now? Is that pretty much how
it goes? I have a little apartment in D.C. We have our apartment in Houston. We have an apartment in D.C., and I just walk. So my whole life is between Cannon. Cannon is the office building I work in, and we live in the Navy Yard.
Do people ever stop you when you're walking? Have you ever had a less than favorable situation?
No, actually, which is pretty incredible, really.
Yeah, I'm shocked to hear that.
I don't know. I think people who maybe want to do that, and they certainly talk about it on social media, I think in the moment they're just disarmed, you know.
I think
it's like
because you're a SEAL.
Yeah, maybe.
I think that probably has more
because
to do
because I disarmed
it. Yeah,
them.
Disarmed them before they.
Yeah, metaphorical and literal senses of the word. So moving on to the next caveat. I'm just kidding. That's not how we use it. I don't know why I thought of that all of a sudden.
What about you? Best part?
So I think it's kind of a two-part answer.
There you go. Go
I
for
would
it.
Say, yeah.
Do what you feel.
But on the flip side, which of the social media part of it, because I do say this, is there are people that have come to our page that truly have a question that we can answer or need help, and I can get them to the caseworkers that are in our office. And that ability for anyone to reach out through social media like that, I think is pretty incredible and is a more direct line for them. And then we can get them the lines, the phone numbers or whatever they actually need.
Okay.
And I think that's pretty neat. And I also have to say that those same people in those discussions, I've had people where we've gone back and forth and I've said, here are the facts, or here's where we stand, or this is the truth. And they've been great by the end of the conversation. And we had a human conversation. It wasn't just us yelling at each other. And I thought that was pretty neat too, to see the difference in someone comes really angry and says a statement and I just answer them with respect and treat them as a human. And not everyone is nice to me after, but we can start dialogue.
Right.
And I think I'm saying, hey, I get it. You have a question. I'm not going to disrespect you.
The
I'm
metaphorical disarming.
And
that'll be another another shirt. He'll win because he metaphorically disarmed
you.
Disarmed you. Goodness.
But I think that point is lost because you can disagree and be okay. And it's
right.
Like that's just lost on everyone.
Yeah,
no, it's like,
we've lost that now. Well,
you
unfortunately.
You can be respectful.
Yeah. Well, no one's going to 100% agree with anyone.
Right.
Ever. I mean, it's just impossible.
That's an important point to note when people want you to get stuff done in Congress. And I'm always like, okay, listen, like, take your six closest friends, go have a dinner party, and discuss a complex issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet you all you like-minded folks can't even come to a conclusion on what you should do.
It's true. Yeah.
Let alone, now let's put cameras in your face. Let's write down everything you say. And let's make sure the media tries to undermine both your character and take what you say out of context. And then let's try and see you solve this. And that's just six of you.
Right.
How about 435 in the House of Representatives? Like, this was not meant to happen fast. You know, it's not, this is not how it works.
Yeah.
So let me, Dan, let me ask you a question. So During the whole AOC Ilhan Omar thing, where the Majestic Freedom Pirate was spawned and birthed was during that whole fiasco. Anyway, was it awkward? Does it ever get like awkward going in to where you have
could.
To? Like,
yeah, we don't. We rarely see each other. I mean, you might run into each other in the hallways as you're going to vote, but. You know, again, one of the disappointing things about Congress is how little you do get to debate, which is why we have to debate on social media in front of it. Because, I mean, your job, it's funny, some voters will be like, I don't like it when you fight with people. And my response to that is, yeah, but it is kind of my job.
Yeah.
It's our job to publicly debate. And it was an interesting with Omar. It was like, well, maybe you guys should have called her, gone and seen her behind the scenes. And I'm like, no. Absolutely not, because she didn't make her commentary private.
Right.
She said it publicly, so I am obliged to respond publicly.
No, completely.
Because it deserves a response. And I always thought that was just kind of a strange belief that people have, that we should be locked behind closed doors legislating. That is definitely part of the job.
Right.
But also part of the job is leading and leading for a cause. And so public debate has always been a part of politics. It always will be. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. So. I mean, I don't know. It's actually not very awkward for the most part. So okay. It is what it is. A lot of people do fire at each other wildly in Congress, and then are just friendly.
Do you think
with
maybe
each other
you
after,
just don't see them
the
in the hallways a lot
because you're a SEAL?
Yeah, yeah.
Because you disarm them metaphorically.
Yeah, this is sneaking by. It's actually a little strange how little I see some people. I really don't know how that's possible. I'm actually looking for them many times, and I just can't find them. So,
I don't know. All right. The next question we've got is, what do the Crenshaws like to do besides political stuff? Do you guys have do you guys have like a sport that you like? Do you guys hike?
Well, we ran up a mountain yesterday.
Yeah, we did. We went hiking. Oh. Was that yesterday? I guess
I
it was.
So.
Yeah, it was yesterday. We went hiking yesterday. We got into a little day in the mountains. That was pretty awesome. I like to do physical things. We like to do physical things. Being in the mountains is really refreshing for us. I still like to skydive. So we're trying to. I haven't been in a little while. I need to get my qualification back up. But man, it would make a cool video for social media.
That
so
is that something that you that
unless
you
my parachute
over
doesn't
time?
Open and then it'll be
yeah then that would
then
kind
it'll
of,
crash and burn.
That's always my fear. Yeah.
Look at her laughing. She's
laughing. Yeah. Be tragic.
That would be after she cried, she would laugh lovingly at a terrible thing. I always have that.
She's definitely going to be one of those. That's like, oh, is that joke too soon?
Yeah, too soon.
Yeah. Like, oh geez, not gonna work.
Only he would fully his certification.
Graham will not go with me.
No, you're not getting me, Scott. I'm sorry. Love you to death. Not having it.
Jeez.
If we do a tandem jump and you let me attach myself to you, I'll do it.
But you don't want to tandem with me.
Why?
Well, because I'm not qualified to tandem.
No. So even all the stuff that you've done at Halo and all that stuff, like you can't jump.
Well, I mean, I could probably figure it out. Like we would probably survive if that's what you want to do.
Absolutely. That was the worst talk you could have ever given me.
Well, no, I mean you want somebody to do tandem who's got thousands and thousands of jumps. There's a specific qualification for strapping. And also, I don't want you strapped to the front of me. I'm just I just don't want that.
I think you should go.
There we go. All right. Yeah. Well, I tried. The offer was there. He talked me out of it. You all heard it here on the podcast.
You're just looking for excuses.
I'm not. I really. I don't think I could. I'm just being honest. I'm man enough to admit it.
Things we like to do.
Please. Please. No. Go ahead.
Other than that, we hang out with our dogs and watch Netflix.
What are the dogs' names?
Joey and Luna.
Mm-hmm. Favorite show on Netflix? Because I know that they'll want us to ask that.
Oh, that's hard.
We don't have one right now that we're addicted to.
Boo.
Which would
okay.
Don't judge us. It's not our fault.
We are like
the rest of the USA. Like, we just finished Game of Thrones.
We did too.
Yeah. Okay, wait. Did you go like 8 years of your life, or did you binge watch it? Because
we've been watching it for a while.
So were you happy with how it ended?
No.
Well, okay,
this would be fun. So why didn't you like it?
First of all, Bran has no claim to this. I mean, he has done nothing to deserve the status of king. All right, yeah. he's been that guy.
You see the memes
entire
when
show
he contributed nothing.
Oh, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, exactly.
There's always one in the group project.
Yes.
And in the SEAL teams, the military are always like, hey, don't be that guy. Don't be that guy. Right. Like. You know, who has to take somebody else's gear, you know, because you lost yours, or, you know, everybody's always carrying you and picking up your weight. Like, it's, you know, it's a saying we have in the SEAL team. It's like, don't be that guy. Bran is that guy.
Yeah.
He is that guy.
He is
useless. So, like, it was very obvious that Jon Snow
but
should have been
king.
But
I was happy that Jon was happy, at least.
Oh, he did. How is, you think he's happy?
He's so happy.
He was not happy.
He takes the metaphor when he started walking into the woods at
with
the end.
Dog?
She was like, oh, well, he's not, like, at the wall, technically. You know, he's.
Oh, my God. God.
Going with the forest people in the north.
He was not.
Go back and
no,
that's
happy.
Nice that you think he was.
I don't like.
I make up my own ending.
Here's what I will say. We weren't ready to scorch the earth. Ha ha ha. Just because. Aha, see? Thank you. We'll put a dude.
Crash and burn
later.
Was better. But
yeah. Anyway, because we did binge watch it. And so for us, we didn't have like 8 years of our lives invested in these characters.
And Jake, we binge watched with Jake.
So we were kind of like, you know, I mean, I will admit that I hate the fact that they spent all this time making it seem like at the end of the day, Jon Snow or Jon Stark or
Jon
Targaryen or whatever, you know, that he was eventually going to like rise up and be the one, and then he kind of just got thrown in the gutter.
I mean,
man.
It was just such an awkward like a committee of people, and it takes one guy making a speech.
What is it, Tyrion?
And everybody's like, oh yeah, sure, that's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Like really, just that easily? Yeah, everybody's like, yeah, that guy will be king, no problem.
Yeah, yeah, that's
like,
good. It's great
just like
idea.
That. I mean, come on.
Oh, and you'll be hand. And you'll be hand.
Yeah,
you're
gonna wrap this up.
So,
No, I was talking about Game of Thrones.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
And I'll tell you how I started watching Game of Thrones was when Dan was on deployment. Someone in your platoon had read the book, and you guys all got.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, you guys got really into it, and then you came and you were telling me about it. And then when Dan got blown up and came home, and we were in the hospital, we were there for a long time. And one of my friends sent me her HBO Go password and said, "Hey, watch whatever you want. There's this really good show called Game of Thrones." And I was like, "Oh, that's that book that Dan was reading on deployment."
I wasn't reading.
Or that you told me about on deployment.
Yeah.
To be clear,
he was not reading.
The guys were watching it because there was one of the SEALs we were relieving. His brother-in-law is Tyrion Lannister.
Yes, that's right.
The actor.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Tyrion?
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
He's related to him.
Yeah. What's his name? Peter
Dinklage.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Angry Elf.
Yeah.
Angry. Oh, he's an angry elf.
Yeah.
I love that guy.
He's great.
No, but so Dan would be at night, when Dan would be sleeping, I would put in my headphones and watch an episode of Game of Thrones in the hospital.
Oh, you would sneak
it
in.
Yeah.
So you'd watch it at night?
Wow.
This is turning into a terrible story.
Dan was blind at the time, so I didn't know.
She couldn't wait for me. She didn't know if I was going to always be blind.
I felt so bad. So I put my headphones in and I felt bad.
Oh my God,
this is just coming out.
She put her headphones in.
That's amazing.
I didn't want that to, like, make you upset.
How many episodes
did you watch?
It matters.
The entire first season. And that's all that was out at the time. The second season wasn't out yet.
Yeah.
But here's the thing.
You would have watched that too.
I would have my headphones too.
Yeah. That's
but I'll tell you what. This is what I think about the ending of Game of Thrones and why I'm okay with it to a point is because we forget. For me, I was like, the very first season, this story is about the Starks. And we go through the seasons and kind of forget that this was a family story and it started off with their father.
Yeah.
And it all came full circle in the end of the family story and Sansa taking back the North.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I don't like Sansa.
And deciding to be Switzerland.
Oh, really?
I feel like Sansa, and I agree with Alyssa. She was the one, she was like, just didn't learn anything the whole time, kept making like the same mistakes over and over.
And she grew up.
So Arya and she killed everybody.
She literally killed everybody.
Literally.
Killed the Night King.
She killed everybody.
I liked her.
All right. So moving on TV, then we're going to go back to a real question to end this out. So since we're on TV, what do you guys think of the show SEAL Team? I know that we had talked about this briefly and they had reached out to you. We're friends with a lot of the people on that show.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, would you ever, are you allowed to? Would you consider going on that show? I mean, is that something?
They couldn't pay me. But I guess I
thought
go
you were going to say they couldn't pay you enough. I was like, well, this is taking an aggressive
like, ethically,
turn.
They cannot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You can, through ethics.
You can take jobs, I think, but they have to be very small. I don't know, actually. But I don't know. Frankly, I don't know. I've only seen like one or two episodes of that. It wasn't bad.
I was going to ask. Obviously, no show is going to be.
I hear great things about it.
You know, true to form of how it really is. But I mean,
they get some details right. They've obviously got some people who are giving them the right advice to get just certain details right. And also maybe like the way they interact with each other. I've only seen a couple episodes.
Well, I know a
maybe
couple.
Maybe I should watch more.
Couple of the
maybe
guys.
That's what we should watch on Netflix.
Yeah. You should.
Except for in one scene, you're going to cringe because me and Graham do. They're in like the middle of this fight and one of them's like, hoo-ah. And we're like, ugh.
No, it's,
no, we didn't.
What did they say? Maybe ooh-yah?
It's like we don't say that outside of training.
In the middle of a firefight, there's this one scene where it's like, "Ooh yeah, Master Chief," or something.
We might say it ironically. We only after you leave Buds, you have to say it all the time in Buds.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like it's funny because it means everything.
Yes,
and so instructors will be like, "What do you mean?" Because a student will say, Hoo-yah, instructor, and they'll be like, hoo-yah, yes, or hoo-yah, no. Like, what do you, hoo-yah, what, you little snot? You know, and they'll be like, it's just this funny game that happens as a result. But yeah, they don't say it anymore. But we do use it in ceremonial terms, but yeah, not in combat.
So would you, so again, would you consider going on the show? I mean, have they continued? I know you said they reached out to you once.
But I would have to play myself.
Obviously,
Majestic Freedom Pirate.
Right. A majestic Freedom Pirate.
They'd have to create a character for Majestic Freedom
Pirate.
Well,
you know, they hint at Rob O'Neill a couple times in the thing. I mean, obviously, completely changed the character around, but, you know, it's a SEAL team member that wrote a book that talked about some things that everybody wasn't happy about.
I don't see why I wouldn't go on.
They hint towards Rob O'Neill in there, and so I don't see how you couldn't just be Dan Crenshaw.
Yeah, I'd have to just play myself. I don't know. We could figure something out. It'd be fun.
Yeah, or something. Fun. Or have, like, a thing, have a scene where they do something really, David Boreanaz, if you're listening, this is your moment. Okay, have a scene where they get like a medal and Congressman former SEAL Dan Crenshaw, and you're all buddies, like they all know you, like, because you know all the SEAL guys like know each other, and you like give them the medal or the award or something like that.
Okay, can I just say this is probably what Graham's been thinking about every night for the last week. Yeah, but I'm just kidding.
What if
is this why he's been texting me all night?
Yes.
Is this
needy?
It's good to agree. It's good to agree at this point. That's all I'm saying. I'm just okay. We'll table that for now. But
I got a request a writer's credit for
you and TV.
Yeah, all I ask is you just let me go and, you know, watch the film and stuff. That's all I want
to
do.
No, I would like to be on as well.
That's a condition, by God.
We all go.
All right, so serious thing to end this out, and this was another very popular request. 2020 Democratic candidate predictions, and what do you think?
Well, I mean, geez, I don't know. It is such a good show to watch, though, right now.
It's beautiful.
And it's only going to get better. It's going to get better as they all circle around Biden and try and destroy him. And he's going to find himself making more steps like he made this week with the Hyde Amendment, for instance.
Right.
You know, just flip-flopping, like just not being who he was because, you know, and maybe all along he didn't really have those secure principles and he'll do whatever it takes to go along with the flow of the left, and you'll just continue to watch that happen. But he still looks strong, and he's got a good strategy, which is don't do much,
don't do much,
you know, and let it play out that way. I still think he's going to have a very hard time against Trump. One, he's not as charismatic. He doesn't have the ability to work a crowd. He's not a good campaigner. Once he does start talking a lot, like, you know, he will have some issues. But fundamentally, the issue will be this. He'll have to convince the American people that they were better off 4 years ago. And
that's going to be really tough.
And he was in charge, right? That's his
real
administration.
Tough.
So that's going to be really tough because by every indicator, things are better now. And we can point to specific reasons why that is. It's not just like, oh, Trump got lucky. Like, no, the tax cuts matter. Deregulation matters. A more pro-business regulatory environment really does matter, where government sees business as a partner with which to work, as opposed to an adversary, which is how the Obama administration viewed it, and it's had some pretty obvious effects. And so, yeah, he's gonna have a tough time.
So I was really hard on the Biden was going to get the nod thing, and the only thing that makes me question that here lately is watching all of the other potential candidates fall in line with what Sanders says. That's the only thing. Watching the other candidates, he's tapping into something right now where it almost seems like people are afraid to dare go again. Even the most insane things, like the Boston Bombers should be allowed to vote. For some reason, they seem to be like, oh, we should do that. And so that's interesting to me this time around.
That's what happens when you don't know what you believe. This is what happens when you have people in government who don't go up there with a set of foundational principles.
Right.
This is why, I make the argument that the left as a governing philosophy is an incoherent philosophy. Because it's overly concerned with inequality and injustice, and those aren't bad things to be concerned with.
Yeah.
They're just not a political platform by themselves. All right, conservatives have a political platform, a coherent governing strategy that matters. Like, we ask ourselves certain questions, whether that regarding liberty and whether we're taking too much of it away. We ask ourselves whether we're promoting local control versus federal control. We're asking ourselves whether we're infringing on the rights of others. If we're going to give a service to somebody, there's certain principles of individual liberty and personal responsibility, fiscal responsibility, limited government, meaning government shouldn't do everything. There's certain principles that we have that allow us to govern coherently. They do not have that. And when they don't have that, it's very easy for them to be persuaded by those far left talking points and to jump over each other, trip over each other, trying to run to the left, which is what you're seeing happening.
So last question, and then we will call this an episode. Charlie Kirk was on the show a little while ago, and he said that he believes that there is a serious contender that may not have put their name in the hat yet. Do you think that's possible, or do you think it's truly between Biden and Sanders?
I mean, anything's possible. That's not a crazy prediction. I don't know. Maybe he's got some inside info that I don't know about. But I'm not sure who it would be. That's tough to imagine. But I think there's space for it. If somebody were to do that, that'd be an interesting.
I think 80% of them are going to fall away very quickly.
Yeah,
and
if they haven't already.
Exactly. And so I agree. But the biggest takeaway I think that we can say from this podcast is Crenshaw 2024 slogan is majestic. Freedom pirate.
That's a great idea.
I think it's perfect. At this point. Awesome.
And don't skydive with him.
Congressman, thank you so much for coming on. First Lady Majestic. Thank you so much for joining us. We know that your time is super hectic and super valuable. We really appreciate it. For the very few people that aren't following you already, where can they go to find you?
Find me on Facebook, Dan Crenshaw for Congress, and Representative Dan Crenshaw. There's two different accounts, and Instagram, Dan Crenshaw TX, Twitter, Dan Crenshaw TX.
Awesome. Alyssa?
Well done. Alyssa, ELLISA, Allen, on Facebook and Instagram.
Jake?
On Instagram, producer_Jake.
And you can find me, Graham Allen, anywhere that you look. Most people have really horrible things to say about me, but that's all we have for this episode of the Dear America podcast, and we'll see you again next time.
Bye.
Bye.